We get it underway in grand fashion by welcoming back to the show, well, she is the reigning Downtown Madness champion, Perry Gilpin, joining us. Hello there, Perry.
Hi. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
My title.
You're not wearing your tiara as you speak with us?
Well, I am, but I wear it for so many reasons.
By the way, a happy belated anniversary to you.
Thank you. That's so nice. That's very nice. We had quite a day. Both of our daughters had their wisdom teeth removed on Thursday, and we're still in pain, and no one was feeling very good. So it was the perfect day in a lot of ways too, because we just hung out together, which was nice.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, how has your summer been going?
Like that, you know, both of my daughters are going to go to two different schools here in California, and so, you know, we've been doing like, you know, excursions and just kind of staying close to home, and the summer's just flying by, flying.
Now, will they be close enough that you can get there on a short drive?
One will be. The other one's going to be a much longer drive, but they can get to each other easily, which is great because they're twins, and this is going to be the first time they've been apart, so that should be interesting too.
Yeah, that's going to be a big adjustment.
Yeah, it is. We're getting ready for that. That's why I just wanted to kind of hang out with them at home this summer and kind of come and go. They're both working. One's working at the Y, one's working with kids at a middle school, like as a tutor and a kind of a, you know, just babies, not babies, but all-purpose assistant, you know, to the people there. And I love that they're both working with kids. I think that's so fun and good for them. I think that's why my husband is such a good parent, because he did that, you know.
I wanted to ask you. So we sent you some goodies when you were the Downtown Madness champion. It looked like you were trying to pawn off the Moxie, the soft drink of Maine, on some other unsuspecting people.
Well, it's funny that you should say that, because I put it in the fridge, and kept thinking I'm going to try this and you know, call Rich, or because I have no idea what to expect. I just know there's highly opinionated people, have a lot of strong opinions about it, right?
Oh yeah, you either love it or hate it.
Yeah. And I really got that from Twitter, you know, from the way people reacted to the Moxie on Twitter. So I put it in the back of the fridge, and then somebody, I saw that it was open, you know, and I could not find out who drank any of it, but there was not much out of it. Not much was drunk out of it. And I thought the next time I talk to Rich, I'll have to tell him. I just kind of, I don't think, I don't personally know, but whoever tried it here, put it back.
Well, the good news is if you just poured it down the sink, it probably cleaned things out of your drain.
I did that just in case.
We're talking with Perry Gilpin here on Downtown. What's ahead professionally? What have you got lined up?
Well, I play Annie Murphy's mom on Kevin Can F Himself.
Oh, love it.
Which is a great show on AMC that's going, the season will start, I think, August 22nd.
Yeah, and this is the final season, right?
It is. And so I think I'm in the fourth episode. And so everyone's saying, watch it now so you're caught up and, you know, watch the first season, but it's a really amazing show. It's kind of got a little bit of everything going on, and it deals with the tropes of sitcoms, you know, which I know so well because I worked on them, but I've also watched a million. And I think it's a really great show that you almost have to watch each episode a couple of times, because there's a lot of depth there, and the acting is just as great as the writing. It's really good.
It's such an interesting television landscape these days, because there's so much out there. There are so many different platforms where you can watch things. I wonder if, you know, could you ever have a hit the size of a Frasier these days when the situation is so fragmented?
Well, Stranger Things is phenomenal, you know, and that's mega. I mean, I'm sure that makes the viewership of Frasier look small. You know, you're just talking about so many people watching it. I don't know, but I think it's niche television now.
When you watch something, right? if it's something that's streaming, now, do you like to watch it all at once and just binge a season, something like that? Or do you prefer to watch the one episode a week kind of way?
I love binging, but I can't watch more than three or four at a time. But like lately, we've been watching Ozark. And that's another thing I really love is that, you know, shows have such a long lifespan now. Because even if you didn't watch it when it first came out, because you were probably watching something else or whatever, your time wasn't, you couldn't do it, you can go back and catch up, and people are very careful about spoilers when they're talking about them. And, you know, and plus so much happens in an hour of those shows anyway. You know, you can't even spoil everything. So I think that's a really cool thing. Cause I think Ozark is maybe just ended, right? But
right.
It just ended its final season, so we're starting the second season, and we're enjoying it just as much as if we'd watched it whenever it started. And I don't know why we didn't, you know. But it's and there's so many shows like that, so many. The Boys.
That's it. There's so much out there that you can't possibly watch everything. And I haven't started Ozark. I've had a number of friends who have said they loved it, so it's on my list of shows to get to, but. But there's so much good television out there, you can't possibly watch everything.
Yeah, I know. And they're making more. But also you can watch, like what I think happens too is, and I can't think of anything that we've done this with too, but there, you know, if you're not into it, you can move on to the next one, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's the beauty of it. You watch a few episodes and say, yeah, this one's not for me, so I'm moving on.
Well, and I think a couple of times we've been anxious to watch a couple of different things, and so it's sort of like, well, this isn't keeping my attention because I want to watch this other one, you know. So you move on to the other one, and then you think, well, we should go back to that one because we didn't really give it a chance. So you know what I mean? It's kind of how you decide how to watch things is by watching them for a minute, and then going, no, I'm going to try the other one. It's just so it's completely different.
Now, do you have a favorite genre? You like comedies? Do you prefer dramas, sci-fi?
Well, I would have always said I preferred, you know, I've always really loved comedy. I also love, like, you know, BritBox. I love all the great, you know, Jane Austen and all of her different ways that they do it, you know, Masterpiece Theater or Emma Thompson's version. You know, I love all those things, but I never thought I really liked sci-fi or thriller, but I tried some and I like them. I do like them. And that's the other thing. You jump around. You try different things more because they're just right there. You don't have to wait till Thursday night.
Now, is there something in your career, is there a show or a series that you've done that maybe you'd love to have people go back and watch again if maybe it didn't get enough attention the first time around?
I'll come back to that. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I did this show after Frasier called Make It or Break It on Freeform. And that's another, I actually am going to do some more episodes of this, of a pilot I did called What I Was Doing While You Were Breeding. And it's based on a book that got very popular during lockdown, and it's written by a woman named Kristen Newman, who's written on lots of different shows like How I Met Your Mother and most recently Only Murders in the Building. And then the book got so popular that she decided to, you know, convert it, adapt it into a television series, and she did it for Freeform. And the way they've shot it is so cool because what she was doing while everyone else was breeding was she was traveling and having fun and not trying to stay home and have a baby like everybody else seemed to be doing. And so they shot it almost like a, you know, travel show. It's beautiful, and they went on location, and it's really, really cool. And I play her mom, so I didn't get to go on the trip or anything. But Make It or Break It was on Freeform, but in those days it was called ABC Family. And it was about this group of elite gymnasts that were, the best in the world at what they could do. And at the time, there were so many people that said that they watched it with their kids and that it opened up a lot of great conversations. You know, that it was helpful to, especially like kids that were, you know, tweeners, you know, and then young teenagers, as far as, you know, just what happens next, you know. And and so I think it's a really great show, and I hear from a lot of people on social media about it. But I don't know. I don't know who watched it. I mean, I haven't, you know, I do think people still watch it, and it might be a good thing to watch with your kids.
Now, did I read a few months back that I think I saw your name attached to a series in development as a producer?
Yes, and we are still in development and still waiting here if we're going to get to do it. So I don't have any news about that at the moment, but I will. You'll be the first to know when I do.
All right, and now I don't know if we can talk about it at all, so I'll be very cryptic as I ask this, but you know what I'm talking about. We had discussed a project you were working on a few months back. Is that continuing to progress?
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
It was
I did an anthology series called Snap, but what are you talking about?
Well, you were working on a documentary.
Yes, I'm still working on that documentary, and a lot of fun stuff is happening. A lot of really great stuff is happening on that, but I'm not anywhere where I can talk about it. But
that's fine.
I'm busy. I'm a busy person.
Well, that's good.
Not busy enough. You know, there's irons in the fire, and you just go crazy because it's all an holding pattern.
Now, I know that an awful lot of actors these days, it seems like more and more auditions now are self-tapes. Have you had to do any of those? If you did, would you like doing those? Or do people just say, damn it, that's Perry Gilpin, she doesn't need to audition?
Oh, my God, Rich, I cannot believe. Are you like, could you hack into my emails? Like, what are you, what? How did you know? It's such an incredibly interesting topic right now for actors because, yes, I do them all the time. And I do the work that I've done has been offers. You know, people have called and said, do you want to do this? But because cracking the self-tape audition thing is just really hard, you know, and I had this teacher one time that said that audition problems were acting problems, you know, and I really took that to heart because I used to love to audition because it felt like you were acting. It was like, especially if you, you know, worked on it, got dressed, went to the place, met the people, did the scene, you know, at least you got to act that day,
right?
You know, even, or you got to do your thing. But, and I'm not saying that self-tapes don't have their own positive aspects for actors too, because you can create what you want to send in, and possibly even more than you know, you don't have to rely on what happened in the room, so to speak, you know. But there's a lot to be said for being in the room with the people that might or might not hire you, because if they see something, one of the greatest lessons I learned as an actress was producing a play and reading with all the, I produced a play with one of my close friends, Neil Lerner, and Neil read with all the women that were, I was also in the play and so was Neil. We were already cast ourselves in it, but so he read with all the women that were reading for other parts in the play, and I read with all the men, and I learned so much about how, you know, as the part of the casting team, you just hope the next person that walks in the door is perfect for the part that they're reading for, so you can cast it and move on to the next, you know, for no other reason, so you can do your job, you know. And and people walk in and they have the same hair color as someone else you like, and that's an immediate, you know, mark against them. Ugh. You know, and you know, you have all these weird things you do, and you have to go. Well, I got to get past that, because you can change someone's hair color. And also, by the way, there's four people in this room with that same hair color. Who cares? You know, get over it. So it's like you realize that it's really hard to be on the other side of casting too, you know, and how much they are pulling for you. They're pulling for you more than you know in many ways. So there's like, you know, when they can say, hey, the way you did that line, could you please redo that? Could you do it this way? And if they need to see if you're willing or able to take direction, and just all those things that can happen in the room. Now, if they have notes, they'll ask you to redo your tape, you know, and you're actually kind of making a film. You know, you have to find someone to read with you, and you have to make sure that you're lit and can be heard, and that, you know, nothing's going on in the background that's distracting, and you're actually creating something much more than just an audition.
Yeah, and now since you don't have anybody there who can give you that feedback, do you try and do something maybe two or three different ways?
Well, different people have different rules kind of about that, and often they'll state that in their request, so that it's you're clear on how many times you can send a take in. But that's the thing, is, you know, you are working very hard to just get one take the way you want it. Mm. You know, as a filmmaker almost, you know, and so it's just interesting. It makes sense, and just, you know, it makes sense, and it saved the industry in a lot of ways during lockdown when we couldn't go into rooms, and it was an alternate way of doing things. And I think a lot of people wound up moving. You know, I think actors have moved. You don't have to live in LA anymore, for sure. You know, you can send a self-tape in from anywhere, and I think maybe even casting directors and producers have moved around, and they can do it from location, or they can, it's so much more mobile to do it that way. So it's not, I'm not saying that it's not a great alternative, but it's just a different set of issues. Have you ever done one? Have you ever seen one?
No, I have friends who've done them. I have not done any myself. I do have a friend, though, who's a New York-based actor, and that he just moved because he was told by his agent, you know, you don't have to be in New York anymore, because for a while, if you wanted to work in New York, you had to live in New York. And he said, everything is self-taped now. You can move where you want.
Yeah, I think that I think a lot of people in all parts of the business have done that, you know, and so that's a, you know, that if people were dying to get somewhere else, or to be near a loved one, or, you know, needed to take care of someone or something like that, it opened that up for them. So I'm not against this. I think this works and is a positive thing, but I think there's, it's not the same, and it's not the same at all as going into the room, you know.
Perry Gilpin with us here on Dan Temple. Perry, it is always wonderful to catch up with you. We appreciate you making time for us this afternoon. What do you have about two or three weeks left before the girls head out?
Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. Do I sound like sad mom, sad sack?
No. I mean, you'll miss them, of course, but it gives you a chance to have a little more time to yourself,
cry.
Right?
Give me a chance to cry. You still have a young one at home. No, it's like the happiest sadness you'll ever feel. You know, you're like, I'm so happy that they're ready and that they're doing this and that they can. And then you're just so sad to see them go. But they're not going to get too far away from us.
See, I started so late. I mean, my guy's only 8 years old. By the time he's ready to head off to college, I'll have forgotten I have a son.
you, what do you just stay up at night and write those? You've always got a good one.
I have a team working on things.
Good. I'm glad.
Well, we'll look for you on Kevin Can F Himself, the brand new season starting soon, and all the other projects that you're working on. But good luck. Good luck with that transition here later in the month, and we'll catch up with you down the road a bit.
Thanks for thinking of me, Rich. I miss you. I miss talking to you. I'm so glad I got to talk to you today. I hope it's beautiful there, and I hope you're having a fun summer.
You better believe it. And next time, you know, we'll send something more delectable your way.
There were so many delicious things in that. There were so many. We still have a couple of things left that like jellies and things we will eat. But there was
you must have liked the chocolate. Whoopie pies. The whoopie pies are the official dessert of Maine.
Yes, the whoopie pies were gone immediately. They didn't even make it. They didn't even make it to the. I don't even think they were still in the box when I took the picture of it. I think we ate them immediately.
Perfect.
No, it's lovely, and we didn't get to go to Maine this summer, but we're going to come soon, and it's such a beautiful place. And a lot of people wrote in on my Instagram. A lot of people wrote in. Oh, you know, all about a lot of the. Of things in that box. You know, there's a lot of Mainers out there.
Oh, yes. And we all have opinions.
Good.
All right. Thanks, Perry. Be well, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Thank you, Rich.